This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. Thank you for tuning into the show. Before we get to the episode, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Today, another player shares his incredible football journey with us and talks about his life after the gridiron. You're going to love it. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green, and today we have former Edmonton Eskimo, former CFL player, former CFL defensive tackle, Mark Mackey. All right, so Mark played 2 years in the CFL, two seasons with Edmonton, as I mentioned. He came out of the University of McMaster, or McMaster University. He was a Yates Cup winner in 2014, and he was an eighth-round pick in the 2017 draft for Edmonton. And now he is in life after football. He is a student, full-time student at Western University, studying medicine at the Schulich School of Medicine there. So, Mark, thanks for coming on and welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it. So I usually start my episodes by asking my guests to say something about them that most people don't know about them. So what would that be for you? What's something about you that most people don't know about you?
Something about me that most people don't know. You've put me on the spot.
My apologies.
I guess. I wish I had something in my mind for this one. Normally my answer to this one, all the icebreakers for medical school has been football. So I guess that's kind of out of the bag now. I guess I would say I was ranked on like the leaderboards, like top 100 on FIFA at one point.
Top 100 on FIFA. Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, FIFA, PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox. You got
Xbox. You're an Xboxer.
Yes, sir.
You got you're an Xboxer. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty cool. All right. Good stuff. So is there an e-games feature for you maybe down the road?
No, my skill went way down.
It went down. That was your peak? That was a peak moment?
I peaked early.
All right. Okay, all right. No problem. I'm sure you can still beat most people anyways. Me for sure, I know that. Okay, cool. So yeah, let's get go to the beginning and ask when you started football. I'm sure as most football players are pretty athletic. So did you play other sports or was it just football growing up?
Yeah, so I didn't start playing football until about grade 9. So I was busy playing like hockey, baseball, stuff like that before. And then grade 9 just kind of rolled along. And one of the high school coaches said, you know, you're a big kid, you should come out and play football. And that was kind of history from that point. So I was a little bit of a late bloomer. I picked it up and I started kind of playing. I was a bigger kid, so I started playing kind of offensive line. And then that, as I got a little older, she kind of shifted to fullback and then eventually found my way to the good side, to the defensive line. So
defensive side. Okay. Good stuff. So your other sports, were those like, were you very, did you like playing those? Were they more your favorite sports and you kind of just fell into football or? How do you end up deciding to stick with football over the other?
Well, you know what? It did come down to in grade 10, I was kind of between do I go for baseball or do I go for football? And it really just came down to I got into some terrible slumps as a hitter. Like I could hit it far if I hit it. It was just a matter of trying to hit it. So I think maybe the frustration of that pushed me towards football a little bit. And then I really fell in love with football. I loved, you know, how much of a team sport it was. I loved hitting people. I loved everything about it. So I think that's kind of what pushed me into football. And then I think just in terms of what I thought I could take the farthest, I think football was my best sport. So that helped with choosing that too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see. So yeah, a lot of the downfall, a lot of guys, trying to hit that curveball or trying to connect on some of those, on those pitches.
Hey, when I was hot, can be tough. When I wasn't hot.
Yeah, it was tough. Okay, so you chose football over the other sports, and obviously were good enough to make it to university level and play at McMaster. So talk about the recruiting process and how you decided to choose McMaster over the other schools?
Yes, I mean, for me, I've always been kind of an undersized kind of guy. So, you know, moving from O-line to eventually D-line, that a big part of that for me was just I wasn't tall enough. I'm 6'1" on a good day. So I think most kind of coaches said, you know, you're going to have to change positions if you want to play at the next level. So the recruiting process for me was an interesting one because I think most coaches were like, where are we going to play this guy? Like, he's not really big enough to be a lineman, not really athletic enough to be anything else. So for me that way, that kind of, some schools wanted to recruit me, others didn't, which, you know, looking back is fun for me to think about. But, you know, at the time what happened was McMaster in 2011, 2012, they had back-to-back Vanier Cup appearances. They were kind of the top team and all of their defensive line was graduating. All of them were going to be gone. So for me, it was a massive opportunity. And they said I could come in and compete at the defensive line position where a lot of other schools were kind of wishy-washy on that. So, and they also had a really strong kinesiology program. So I thought it was kind of the perfect fit. And so I went there and the gamble kind of paid off for me. I got to kind of start in my first year and never really looked back, and it was a really, really fun 5 years playing at McMaster with some really great teams and a lot of awesome teammates. So it was a great time there.
Nice, nice. And you won the Yates Cup in 2014. So talk about that season and how that experience of winning the Yates Cup.
Yeah, that was a great year. We kind of went on a good run, and not a lot of people had us picked that year, but we went and won the Yates Cup. And then for me, that was a really special year because it was kind of my, I guess, breakout moment in the game after the Yates Cup, the Mitchell Bowl. We played Mount Allison, and I got 5 sacks in that game. And so that was kind of my breakout moment a little bit. So I was MVP of that game, and that was kind of my big aha moment. Maybe I can take football a little further than, you know, the university level. And from there, though, it was we went and played in the Vanier Cup against Montreal in Montreal. So you can imagine 26,000 people all decked out in blue, not cheering for us. And we played them real tough. And then it came down to the last field goal, and we had our all-Canadian kicker at the 30-yard line, and it got blocked. So that was a tough way to lose a national championship, but that was a really special run and a really special team.
Oh, man. Yeah, sorry again for bringing that Vanier Cup game
spot
for you. But
I'm not going to pretend I'm over it.
Yeah, those losses are the ones that hurt the most, for sure.
I remember those things.
Yeah, I remember our great cup in 2004 that we lost. It still hurts knowing that we were the favorite and we should have won. And so, I know the feeling. So
it's good to know I'm not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone. You're definitely not alone in that. All right, so you met. I was going to ask you, was there a moment where you kind of thought that you might be able to or want to make it to the next level? And I guess you said that it was after that Mitchell Cup game that you had the 5 sacks. I guess that was a moment you thought, hey, I can play at the next level.
I think it added to my confidence big time. I think that was a big moment for me. But what really kind of sold it was, you know, as I kept progressing through university. I got to see kind of guys get drafted to the CFL who I played against. And, you know, a lot of those guys, I was like, you know, he's really, really good, but I don't think he's that much better than me. And then, you know, that's when I started thinking, okay, well, if they're able to go and be successful, you know, why can't I, you know, follow their footsteps and be successful too? So that was kind of my aha moment, was over the years, just kind of seeing those guys, you know, get drafted and make it in the CFL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a matter of getting opportunity and working hard and believing in yourself. And a lot of times you kind of overthink it and think, wow, that guy must be super good, or that guy must have all these ridiculous abilities, but they're just playing just like you. And and you say, oh, wow, he made it too. It's like, oh, I guess I can do it. So, it comes
100%.
To boils down to that. Yeah. Okay, so talk about, that 2017 year and getting drafted by Edmonton. Talk about what your thoughts were going into the draft. Did you think maybe you could get drafted higher, or were you worried about not getting drafted? What was your thinking during that draft year?
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting year going in. I definitely had a bit of a dud season in 2017, so that certainly didn't help the cause. And you know, similar to what I was saying, you know, getting recruited to university, definitely, you know, my size was always kind of playing against me. Of kind of, you know, where do you play this guy? He's not really big enough for D line. He's not really athletic enough for special teams. So, you know, I think I had those things going against me, but when you're going into the draft, you just kind of, you never really know what people are thinking. And so many people are telling you different things. For me, I didn't get selected to the main combine. I went to a regional combine. I went there to the Ontario one, and I did really well. And from there, I got selected to go to the main combine. I went to the main combine, and you know, my testing numbers were, you know, average in the pack, but, you know, I really thought I did strongly in the one-on-ones, and I thought I competed really well. So you're going into that draft and you just kind of don't know. You know, people are saying you this round, that round, but I had a good feeling I was going to get drafted, but I got to tell you, you know, round six goes by, nothing's happened yet. Round seven goes by. That's when I was kind of like, oh, man. Yeah, it's like, is this even going to happen? And, you know, a couple of close friends knew it was happening, so they were over. It was getting awkward in the Mackey household on draft night. I'm not going to lie.
On draft day.
Yeah. It's getting a little tense.
So you had a draft party that you put together?
No. I never set the draft party up. A couple people knew about it. They came over, though. So
okay.
We did have, I have
it was a small, like, close, small gathering.
It was a close little get together, but yeah, nonetheless, it did get a little awkward going into the eighth round. But then, you know, Edmonton, Alberta pops up on the phone and you forget about what round it is. And, you know, I'm talking to the GM, the head coach, and, you know, they're excited. They're saying, you know, you're going to get a real chance. And, you know, so that's what I really remember about the night, is just kind of my first time talking to them and being really excited about going out to Edmonton.
Nice. Nice. So yeah, during the shock of, or the nervousness of that moment, did it kind of motivate you being drafted in the eighth round? Did you kind of say, you know what, I'm going to show these guys I should have been drafted higher? Or what was your
of course. I mean, I thought it was a great motivator. I think for me, I looked ahead in other rounds and I said, you know, I know I'm better than that person. I know I'm better than that guy. And I thought that was a big motivator. I thought, you know, I'm not obsessed about what round I went in, but it definitely feels disrespected to think that, you know, that many people went ahead of me. So I used that as fuel. And I mean, for me, it was, you know, you have to go in with a chip, because what you come to learn really fast is, you know, guys who are drafted earlier are going to get more opportunities, and guys who are drafted later are going to get really few opportunities. So, you know, I knew I had to bring some energy, bring a chip. And when I did get those few, you know, opportunities, I really had to make them count.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. Like you said, when you get drafted that low, there's going to be low expectations and probably low opportunities for you. So when you do get the chance, you gotta make the most of it. So let's talk about what you did with those moments. And obviously you showed them some great stuff to be able to make the team. So talk about how that went going to Edmonton.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy. My first training camp, I think the bullets were flying way faster than I thought they ever could have.
Are you expecting? Yeah.
It was just, you know, the guys were bigger, but I was just surprised how fast. I mean, getting out of my stance in the D-line and being reached by a 350-pound guy was a new experience for me. It was it was fast. So, I mean, just the pace of the game. So it was a big adjustment, but I thought I had a really good first training camp. And you know, it was really funny in the defensive line room. You know, there I was, this kind of eighth round guy. Nobody knew who the heck I was, but just slowly I would kind of make, you know, a play here or there in practice, and then kind of Odell Willis started noticing, like, I was making plays here or there. So he would just start yelling from the back of the room, "Okay, Milk." And then Melk slowly somehow turned into, Melk, I was the only white guy in there, but Melk slowly turned into Melk Truck, and then it kind of stuck. So, you know, my first training camp went in, I got a nickname, I started making some plays, so I felt good about it. They, you know, they ultimately, you know, they didn't have a plan for me being drafted that late. So I got sent back to school, and then the next training camp comes along and I have a really strong camp. And then, you know, unfortunately, at the end of that camp, I got cut again. So that I'm not gonna lie, that one hurt. That one hurt real bad. I was pretty upset. I thought, you know, I played well enough to stay around, but you know, it just wasn't in the cards. And I think that just goes back to the whole, you know, you only get so many opportunities. And I thought I made the most of them, ended up not working out. And so when I got kind of, after that, I was like, is football done? I don't know what's going to happen. And it was a long kind of 3 weeks of being in limbo and just training and waiting for my agent to hear if anybody was going to give me a shot. And then Edmonton had some injuries. And week four, I got called up. They said, you know, that the injuries are such that, you know, you're not on the practice roster. Like, you're playing this week. Welcome to the CFL.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just so happened.
Right into it.
Yeah, and it just so happened the game was in Toronto. So I got my whole family out to the game to kind of come see. And I only got five or six reps. But on one of them, I managed to get a sack. So that was kind of my big.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, you know, they say you make a play.
Who was your first sack against?
So, it was against James Franklin.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, which is funny. I was with him in the first kind of training camp. So small world in the CFL.
Well, that's right. He was in Edmonton at the time.
Yeah, he was in Edmonton for a little bit. So I got a sack on him, and then didn't really ever look back from there. I mean, there's still been a bunch of adversity, you know, going down to the practice roster, coming back up a couple times. But you know, once I kind of made that first play and showed my stuff, it was. You know, it was not smooth sailing, but it was, you know, my big break at that point.
Nice, nice. That's great. Yeah, like you said, you just need the opportunities, and yeah, you got that break with injuries, which often is the break most guys end up getting their start from somebody getting hurt, unfortunately. But that's the way the game goes. So yeah, when you stepped in and made some plays and got your first sack, so that was a great moment for you.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, so you had a couple years there with Edmonton, after coming into this season, I guess you had to make some tough decisions, and I know the things were in limbo with the league and stuff like that. So, what talk about transitioning to making your decision to step away from the game and to start medical school.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, for me, it was always, you know, my first goal going to McMaster was eventually to get into medical school. It was kind of my big, big long-term plan. And, you know, as football picked up along the way, that was kind of, you know, a dream that kind of happened, you know, out of nowhere almost. So, you know, I had these two kind of competing dreams of sorts, but, you know, the CFL happened first, but I was still, you know, diligently working towards the other goal of medical school. Throughout, there's there's a big test you got to take, the medical school admission test. So I actually ended up writing that after my first season. I wrote it in the off season, and then the way it works in Canada is you start the application process to medical schools basically the year before. So I actually sent my application in during the season, during my second season. And so it's a really long and drawn out process, to be honest. So I submitted in October, and then it wasn't until May that I found out I got in, which would have been if the season was going like a couple days before training camp. It's like a really tight timeline.
Tight window there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, getting into school in Canada, there's only so many spots, and it's really, really competitive. So, you know, the fact I was able to get in, it was kind of, for me, a no-brainer, and it's a lot of school to get through at the same time. So it's something that, you know, I felt I wanted to get started. It sucked because I felt I had more to give in my football career. Yeah. I thought there was still more things I could do, but you know, looking back on it, being an eighth round pick and playing as much football as I got to play, I've certainly got no regrets about it. So, you know, I'm happy with my decision, but definitely crazy. And, you know, now with the whole the COVID, the coronavirus situation going on, the season being canceled and everything, it's just been crazy how everything's kind of played out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was going to ask you if that kind of factored into your decision to not play this year, or was it strictly because of being
Yeah,
able
so I mean,
to
it's
take
making me look smart as if I kind of projected
Exactly,
it a little bit.
yeah.
But no, yeah,
Exactly.
that application goes in, in October, and you don't find out until May. So
Yeah.
that was something that was kind of already in the works, and it just kind of is coincidence it happened the way it did.
Yeah. Turned out to be, I guess, a blessing in disguise that you're gonna go there anyway. So,
Yeah, a little
yeah, you
bit.
can, yeah. So yeah, you don't have to go through what some of your former teammates and buddies are going through right now. So, what do you think of the situation with the league having to cancel this year?
It's just disappointing, I think, is the first thing that comes to my mind. First of all, I feel for all the guys because I know a ton of them are scrambling, and to get kind of strung along for as long as they did of, is there going to be a season? Is there not going to be a season? It sucks. And I
Yeah.
think a lot of guys are, they're going to figure it out. But, especially when you see how, the NBA figured out a bubble, the NFL's managed to play, like it's just disappointing to think that, the CFL couldn't come up with a similar plan and put something together. So I'm more than anything, I'm just disappointed for the guys. It's honestly a really tough situation.
Yeah, definitely really tough. And yeah, being a former player myself, yeah, I can understand how hard it must be for these guys, because yeah, unlike the other leagues, we don't have multi-million dollar contracts or six-figure contracts for the majority of the players to fall back on. So when our season or when CFL season gets canceled, it's definitely hurts and puts guys in tough positions. So yeah, it's
100%.
unfortunate that it's happened, but hopefully we can get it resolved and get them back on the field next year, and that the league will kind of strive and thrive through this pandemic moving forward.
Yeah, it'll be good to see
Okay.
the guys back out there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so you went to medical school. Was I guess you mentioned that's something you always kind of want to get into. So was that just something you love to do? Was it what was your pull towards medicine?
I guess it just kind of started in high school. I mentioned I played a bunch of different sports, and with that came a whole whack load of different injuries. So I ended up spending probably more time than I would have liked to at the Fowler
At the
Kennedy
training room.
Sport, yep, in London. And so there was just a lot of physios and sport medicine docs, and I was really into sports at the time as well. So to realize there was kind of this whole field of sport medicine that existed, it fired me up, and that's part of the reason why I pursued a kinesiology degree at McMaster, and from there I kind of knew, I wanted to kind of pursue a career one day in medicine, one way or the other. So, and that just kind of strengthened throughout my time at McMaster, and even out in Edmonton, I got a really cool experience being able to kind of hang around those team doctors and shadow them a little bit and see what they do. So.
Yeah, it's cool that yeah you be able to shadow those guys and get some experience from them and learn from some stuff from them in the professional end of things. So where do you see yourself going with in terms of medicine? Do you want to be like a family doctor, or is it a specific specialist, or maybe back into sports with the team? How do you want where do you want to take your medical career?
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool part about medicine too, is there's, at this point, there's so many different ways you can take it. I think it's a little bit too early for me to commit to one way or another. I think the cool part about medical school is you get to really go in and get some hands-on experience with all the different fields. So I want to do that before I kind of make my mind up about anything. For me, I'm really passionate about, sport medicine, and neuromuscular biology is something I did a research project in at McMaster. So, that's kind of where I'd like to take it. But,
Yeah.
I'm just open to, if I surprise myself and really like something, to just keep an open mind. But, bringing it back full circle to sports is something that I've definitely thought about.
Okay, that's cool. And yeah, speaking of sports and medicine, there's a player on the Chiefs, Darvannay Tardif, who's got his medical degree and has been doing some stuff in his home area of Quebec, helping out with COVID and all that stuff, and took the year off to focus on that. So have you talked to him? Has he reached out to you or anything like that?
No, I've never really had the chance to talk with him, but I mean, if I could grab a beer with that guy one day and figure out how he did the medical school and the NFL, I would be more than down for that. I mean, he's clearly a superstar on and off the field. So, I mean, that's the cool part for me, though, is there's been so many awesome role models like that. I mean, he's just one of them. Like, I can think of Andrew Buckley was a backup quarterback for the Calgary Stampeders, who kind of did the same thing I did. He went to the University of Calgary for medicine after a couple of years. And there's even guys from the NFL who have kind of retired and moved on to become doctors. So I think, you know, I think there's a lot of skills and, you know, traits from football that translate really well into medicine. So it's not surprising that there's so many role models out there.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. All right. And obviously medicine is kind of a focal point in football in terms of concussions and stuff like that. What's your views on the safety of football?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, running into each other, contact sports, it's never going to be safe. I think the cool thing for me with football is just kind of seeing how much it's changed, even as I've been a player. So I can remember, you know, when we were in high school, you know, our practices were full contact. We do hitting drills, you know, bull in the ring, Oklahoma drill. And then, you know, as I progressed, you know, there's a huge emphasis on, you know, player safety and taking hitting out of practices. A lot of, you know, information about concussions, when do guys need to be taken out of the game, concussion protocols getting put in. So I think there's a lot of, you know, really positive steps being taken right now to make the game a lot safer. But, you know, there's a long way to go. So I think we still need to do a lot more research, and I still think there's a lot more steps we can take to make the game safer. But I mean, it's a contact sport, so it's tough to get it out. There's a lot of different problems.
But I think I agree with you that they're moving in the right direction and doing a lot of good things to try and make things safer and make things better for the players, for sure. So, we're definitely moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mark. So I'd like to finish off with what I call a top of the mountain moment, kind of looking back on your football journey, football career, all the highs and lows and all the struggles and things you've gone through, the great moments. And is there a favorite moment, a favorite story, words of wisdom for younger players? How would you like to finish things off?
I mean, I'm going to cherry pick that one moment. I mean, having been cut the second time from Edmonton, you know, wondering, you know, what on earth am I going to do? You know, I think the big thing for me was, you know, what is my goal? What is my dream? Is to play in the CFL. So, you know, for those 3 weeks of kind of being in limbo, I just said, you know, what would somebody who goes back to the CFL and plays, what would they be doing? And so, you know, I worked really hard. And then my top of the mountain moment, I guess, would be getting that call. Hey, Mark, are you healthy? Yep. Are you in shape? Probably.
And then
just, you know, being on the field in my first real CFL game, tons of friends and family in the stands, and then, you know, making a play. So I think that was kind of my big full circle moment. And it's a really special memory that I'm going to definitely, you know, have for the rest of my life.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. Moments like that, you never forget, and you cherish them and hold on to them for sure. And one day you can tell your kids and your grandkids what I had 10 sacks in one game.
More than that, yeah.
Exactly. You had 10 sacks. Exactly.
Yeah, I was being triple teamed. And
exactly. Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. Got a great interview, lots of great stories, and thank you for coming on.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Take care, man.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.